speaking on this program is Gary Cawley.
I began a study with you today on be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason. And this, of course, comes from 1 Peter 3, verses 15 through 22. And if you want to read with me, take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter 3, verses 15 through 22. There the inspired Apostle Peter wrote, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of that hope that is in you, yet with meekness and with fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him." A key word of 1 Peter, the book of 1 Peter, is the word hope. And it is a word that is so important to us all. Christians are and do have a living hope, it says, to face the fiery trials of life, according to 1 Peter 1, verse 3 and 6. Hope, of course, is that expectation with desire which we have as children of God. We expect and we desire the blessings of heaven because of our connection to Christ. And if we be sanctified in Christ Jesus, set apart to his labor and his work, then we'll want to sanctify him in our hearts. That is, set him apart to always do the things which he commands and be ready always to give any answer or defense to every man that asks us a reason concerning the hope that is within us. Peter, of course, said that they are to trust in the grace of God and stand fast therein. In 1 Peter 5:12, he said, "For I have written unto you briefly, exhorting and testifying, that this is the true grace of God. Stand ye fast therein." Peter was certainly well equipped, wasn't he, to encourage those whose faith was tried and being tried by the persecutions and trials under which they were going. He had been tried many times himself, and he also knew what it was to fail and to stumble, didn't he? He had even in the past denied the Lord, denied him three times, and even denied with a curse, that he knew the Lord and therefore was a part of his disciples. But Peter was able to recover his strength and continued the work that the Lord gave him to do. And after each such failure, Peter would renew his efforts for the Lord, and of course we have to admire him for that. Here he is commanding that we give an answer for the reason of our hope. "But sanctify your hearts, in your hearts, Christ is Lord, being ready always to give answer to every man," he says, "that ask you a reason concerning the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear." Well, to sanctify, as I've already said, means to set apart. It means to reverence the Lord in our heart. We're not to be in fear or trouble from our enemies. Instead, we should be concerned to make Christ the Lord and ruler of our life. And this idea, of course, is seen also in Isaiah 8:13, where he says, "Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread." Now, the Christian is to be ready always to give an answer, literally to make a defense or an apology. And, of course, he simply means the defense which he has in mind concerns our hope. What reasons can we give for the hope that we have? You know, the Christian should be able to give solid reasons for his hope of eternal life. Titus 1, verse 2 says, "We live in hope of eternal life." And this defense is to be given to every man that asketh. This command, of course, implies sufficient knowledge of the Word of God so that one is able to give his defense of the gospel. It is said that every citizen in Athens was expected himself to keep himself sufficiently informed in civic affairs as to be able to participate intelligently in any discussion which was before the people. Well, Christians should be well informed in the things of God, about the Lord's church, and be able to participate in a discussion of the matters of salvation. You know, it's strange that we can talk about so many things We can talk about the weather. We can talk about our business. We can talk about our family. But can we talk about the Lord and His church? Many people cannot, it seems. But this passage in 1 Peter 3:15 teaches that there is a reason for our hope, and thus a body of doctrine, a system of faith, to be defended, and that the Christian has the obligation to defend his hope, and thus the body of the doctrine upon which it is based. Furthermore, this defense is to be made constantly. It is to be made to every man, and it is to be made in meekness and in fear. Well, defend is the idea of give an answer. The Greek word then means to give a defense, and so the word occurs also in Philippians 1:17, where Paul said, I am set for the defense of the gospel. Well, we ought to all be that way, should we not? And then the word fight here is also used to describe the defense the Christian is to make. One of the words for fight means to fight or to struggle, and it is a word which in our English language means to agonize. That's where it's derived from. And this word occurs in 1 Timothy 6:12, where Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. Well, the word contend is also important to us here. It also describes the defense made by Christians. Jude 3 says we are to earnestly contend for the faith. Contend is from the word that means to fight or to contend, and the prefix intensifies that word. Thus, we are to earnestly contend, which gives intensity to the contending. Then the word dispute is another word which tells us what we are to do. And, of course, this means to debate, to argue. And it is talking about standing up for what we believe is right. Acts 9:29 says, And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians. Now, Jesus often entered into discussions and debates with those who opposed him. And Jesus answered the Pharisees and the Sadducees, even to a standstill, didn't he? After he had extended his discussion with them, we read in Matthew 22:46, And no man was able to answer him a word, neither dost any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Paul was set for the defense of the faith, of the gospel, and in Acts 19:8, we read that he entered into the synagogue at Ephesus, and he spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. When we turn to Acts 17, verses 1 and 2, it says that he entered into the synagogue as was his manner and reasoned out of the Scriptures. Acts 17:17 says he disputed in the synagogue with the Jews. So, my friends, here we find our example. Here we find our command. Here we find what it means to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and be ready to give answer to every man that asketh us a reason concerning the hope that is within us. You remember Stephen, don't you? He defended the faith on the very day of his death, Acts 7. And Apollos was an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures. And it says he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ, Acts 18, verse 24 and 28. Well, toward the end of his life, Paul could write that I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith, 2 Timothy 4:6-7. Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15 that an answer is to be given to those who ask a reason. And that word reason there comes from the word logos, or word. This means that the Christian has the responsibility to give a rational, logical account of the truth, does it not? And we have some today who want to throw logic out the window and make their feelings the ground for their decisions. They say, I do not know what the Bible says, but I know I feel this way. My friends, we must never surrender objective truth for subjective feelings. Having a good conscience, Peter said, that wherein ye are spoken against, that they may put you to shame who revile your good manner of life in Christ Jesus. Well, Peter had just written that we should give a reason for our hope in meekness and fear. And that means that we're not to be haughty or arrogant in our defense of the faith. In addition to the attitude of meekness and fear, we should successfully defend the faith with a good conscience, that is, with a firm conviction of the righteousness of the cause that we stand for and a clean life which backs it up. So when the conscience is clear and the spirit is meek and the heart is filled with fear, the false accusers of the righteous will be put to shame, will they not? Of course they will. Well, the word revile in this passage means a wild, unfounded charge. So there are revilers who make wild, unfounded charges against Christians. And revilers will eventually be put to shame, he said. They will be exposed as liars and slanderers of those who are good. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Now, the value of suffering for righteousness' sake is often spoken of in this epistle too, isn't it? If we patiently endure false accusers, they shall be put to shame, 1 Peter 3 and verse 16. It is to follow Christ's own example if we do this, 1 Peter 3:18, Peter says. And third of all, it's better, because there is the possibility that such is the will of God. And that, of course, 1 Peter 3:17. Now, Christ's example of suffering is one which we need to see, isn't it? We need to learn to be strong according to His strength. We need to learn to do those things which He has done, because He's our perfect example. And we're to walk in the steps of our Savior. That means we're to live the life that He lived. Are you ready to give an answer, my friend? Maybe you've not obeyed the gospel, so you have no defense to make, because you have no hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. If you have no faith because you've not established that upon the Word of God, then you have no hope. We want you to have hope. We want you to hear the Word and believe it. Repent of the sins of your life. Confess His name before men. Be buried with your Lord in baptism. And then you can give a reason for the hope that is within you.